All right. Well, good morning and welcome everybody to the CVAG Transportation Committee meeting. It is Monday, February 6th, 2023. And just again, to the general public, this meeting is being held telephonically and through the internet. You can find the instructions on CVAG's webpage, and we will go ahead and call this meeting to order. I'm going to ask the clerk to please call the roll.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, committee members. Agua Caliente, City of Blythe.
Here.
City of Cathedral City.
Here.
City of Coachella.
Here.
City of Desert Hot Springs.
Present.
City of Indian Wells.
Present.
City of Indio.
Here.
City of La Quinta.
Here.
City of Palm Desert.
Here.
City of Palm Springs. City of Rancho Mirage.
I'm here.
County of Riverside.
Here.
Torres Martinez. Chair, you have a quorum.
Thank you. We'll move on to public comments on agenda items. Is there anyone in the public that has registered or would like to speak to the committee?
Chair, we received no written comments, and I don't see any hands raised at this time.
Okay, we'll move on now to item number four. This is the chair and executive director's comments. I got a few comments. I do want to welcome from the city of Rancho Mirage, Steve Downs, to the transportation committee, as well as from the city of La Quinta, Kathleen Fitzpatrick. Welcome to the transportation committee. And we also have a new member in Chairman Torres from the Torres and Martinez. So a big welcome to you three members, and look forward to working with you on this committee. I do have an update. Last week we had our RCTC conference held in Palm Springs. And, you know, we had a very good, lively conversation the Thursday and Friday regarding the RCTC transportation plan and the need to update that plan, as well as how we're going to fund that plan. And so it led into a conversation about different strategies of looking to fund the plan moving forward. So I think that's a good thing. I think generally, if we could get the county as a whole to participate in funding, that's a good thing for the Coachella Valley, because that means more money for all of us. But I wanted to just inform you all here on the transportation committee about that conversation. If you have any more questions about that, you can either talk to myself or Tom about kind of exciting developments, hopefully, that we could get some action going from RCTC. Tom, anything you want to add?
Not to add to that, but certainly did want to point out that this marks the 50th anniversary of CVAG. 1973 is when CVAG was formed, and I'll be working with your chair of your transportation committee, who's of course the chair of CVAG, Mayor Hernandez, on a general assembly celebration this year. And I'm 98% certain that it'll actually be in person, first one in a few years, and we'll work on a date and location and get back with you. I also wanted to point out, perhaps some disappointing news, and I say perhaps. I did put it on the agenda when we first got word of it last week that the state's efforts on middle mile broadband, there's a little update on that on your item 7E, but I wasn't going to give a report, but I'll just briefly say the state had selected us as one of a two dozen areas in the state to install middle mile technology or fiber. And they looked at CVAG and building on our signal synchronization program. They've decided to go a different route, and I mean that in more than one way, and that's down I-10. And on one hand, I can't frankly blame them. It would be cheaper to run along existing right-of-way in the freeway, and in fact, it is cheaper, and they're looking at a statewide contract. We'll keep an eye on this and make sure that whatever they do is linked into our systems in the Coachella Valley, but just wanted to give you an early heads up on that one, too. Mr. Chair, that's it. I know there was some interest in virtual meetings. Why don't we talk about that at the end of the meeting when we talk about our next meetings under the announcements?
Sounds good. We'll move on now to item number 5. This is the consent calendar.
Move approval.
The motion. Is there a second?
Second, Cathedral City.
Second by Cathedral City. All those in favor, signify by waving your hand. Any no's or abstentions? Hearing none, motion carries. We'll move on now to discussion action items. Item number 8 is an update from the California Association of Councils of Government, and we have Councilmember Jan Harnick. Jan, welcome.
Thank you so much. And I represent CBAG on CalCOG, because you can never have too many acronyms. And on the heels of what our chairperson was just saying, we are looking, of course, at all the changes in transportation, and integral to that is how are we going to fund it. So it is, CalCOG is really a great representative for us. I can remember years ago they had a same issue. One of the leadership forums was WTF, which is where's the funding? And we're still struggling with that today. But the next leadership, the regional leadership forum, is in Riverside, which is pretty convenient for us. It is March 5th through 7th. So it's the evening of the 5th, which is a Sunday. It is all day Monday and half a day on Tuesday. CalCOG operates recognizing the importance of certain projects are really critically, it's critical that they are done in a regional approach. And at the same time, they understand that one size does not fit all. So just because you check certain boxes, that certainly does not tell the story of our communities. And CalCOG works together with all the regional councils of government to find a way to make sure that our voices are heard, and to their approach is, yes, we're working together to get the best result for all of our regions, at the same time recognizing the fact that all of our regions don't need the same exact thing. So empowering the ability for our regions to make their decisions based on the knowledge that they possess, and at the same time making sure that in Sacramento we're all being heard, finding that balance of environment and economy and those sorts of things. And Bill Higgins, who some of you may have seen at the RCTC annual event, is his title executive director, I think. Anyway, he's wonderful. He does a great job. And he really looks at the policies and the bills that are approaching that we're going to be dealing with this year, and analyzes them well. I encourage you all to go take a look at the website, CalCOG, it's just C-A-L-C-O-G. Offer your ideas, your thoughts. I will be going there March 5th through 7th, so if you're unable to attend, please let me hear your thoughts so that I can represent our region well. And we recently, I think it was last week or the week before, we had just an update. There was no action taken, but Mr. Higgins gave us an update of what is going on, what we might expect in the bills that are going to be presented in Sacramento, and how we can deal with them in the best possible way for our communities and region. And I think that's all I have, but of course, I hope you all know that if you have any questions, please get in touch with me. And if you have any ideas and thoughts, go take a look at the website and see what's going to come up, and then please offer your input on those items. And that's what I've got. Thank you.
Any discussion or any questions for Councilmember Harnick? Seeing none, I do want to welcome Mayor Gardner from the City of Palm Springs to the meeting. And we'll move on now to item number B. This is CV Sync construction and first use of the traffic management centers. And Eric has got a presentation. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, committee members. We're talking about CV Sync once again. And back in November, if you recall, I talked to the Transportation Committee and gave an update on phase one, which is still on track. We're still looking at completion date in April for phase one. And pretty much everything's done that's in the ground. And we're just wrapping up the integration of hardware and software. Something happened between our November transportation committee and the follow-up executive committee that was the first Monday in December. It turned out that the first Sunday in December before the first Monday was the Ironman triathlon in Laikina. And, and so it was an opportunity for us to utilize our regional TMC. And I'm going to just update you on that and show you how that transpired. The Regional Transportation Management Center was conceived back in December of 2019. The executive committee approved kind of a change in design, a change in plan, to go from individual traffic management centers in every single city to one regional traffic management center that each of the cities could participate with, use it for its traffic operations. That turned out to be a very transformative decision back in 2019. That was at the very design level. So phase one, we talked about Washington, Ramon, and Highway 111, and how it put synchronization, and we put an ITS, intelligent transportation system elements, into all of those corridors. But the kind of the little mentioned or not mentioned as much component of phase one was the construction of and the establishment of that regional traffic management center, along with what we're calling traffic operations centers in each of the jurisdictions. In each of your jurisdictions, there is a workstation which can be used to operate your local traffic, utilizing the one traffic management center. And I think it's noteworthy to say that when I say all of your jurisdictions, this includes the county and this includes Caltrans. Very, very unique in that we've put in workstations at the county and at Caltrans, so that those two organizations can view and, if they choose, operate their signals within the Coachella Valley. So that traffic management center conceived in 19 is largely done here in phase one. When we look at the region, we decided, you know, it was prudent that if something happened to the RTMC here at CVAG, that we have backup. And we wanted a backup on the East Valley and a backup in the East Valley, in the West Valley. The Regional Traffic Management Center is backed up in the cloud and can be accessed that way. But we felt it was necessary to create an actual physical traffic management center in as a backup. And one of those was in the city of La Quinta. Part of the reason why was the city of La Quinta has been very progressive, very supportive of this project, and basically has been a leader in participating with CVAG, helping us with pilot projects, helping us get this implemented. And so city of La Quinta was chosen as the kind of eastern side as a backup, and therefore had a number of extra screens provided and two extra workstations. So along comes the Ironman Half Triathlon. I think everybody should be familiar with that event. It's a big regional event taking place largely in La Quinta and Indian Wells. And I believe it started in 2018. This was the headline the day after the Ironman Half Triathlon in 2018. Mayor apologized. Residents complain and traffic is the issue. It doesn't talk about the great athletes, doesn't talk about the great city. This isn't a good headline. To the city's credit, they worked very hard to improve it, reach out to the public, work with the event organizer. In 2019, they had another headline following the day after the event. Again, I guess kind of what you call a left-handed compliment. Traffic delays nowhere near as bad. Well, you know, the focus is still on traffic delays, but they're not as bad. Again, not focused on the great city, the great event, focused on traffic in 2019. But again, the city did improve substantially their handling of that event. And if you'll recall, 2019 was the year we kind of pivoted toward one traffic management center. So conceptually, we were looking at things like this event. After being dark for the pandemic in 2020, this was the headline following the event in 2021. Again, less traffic. It's positive, but it's still talking about the traffic. You know, a lot of our great events in the Valley, sometimes they talk about traffic. Most of the time they don't. They talk about how great the event was, and they talk about the money. You know, I think the triathlon brings over $10 million to the Valley. I think 10,000 plus attendees come. But again, the headline in 2021, talking about less traffic. 2022, so this was just the beginning of December, a few months ago. I think the notable thing in here is there's no headline about traffic. The event was talking about sports. It was in the sports section talking about the athletes and talking about the event. No mention of traffic. So I feel like the city of La Quinta, together with the region, have pulled it off. And we've eliminated traffic from the discussion, and it's just back to being a great regional event. Again, taking place in the city of Indian Wells, the city of La Quinta, touching Palm Desert, and also in the county of Riverside. This is the regional traffic management center. You've probably seen a slide maybe in a previous presentation. This is located in CVAG. This is, there's four workstations. We have six screens. Those are two CVAG employees working there. We have the ability to see every intersection in the region that it's on the regional arterial system. And through our hardware and software, we can make real-time changes in what we see. The city put together its and together with CVAG and our consultants and our contractor and our design engineer, we put together a team for this event. Again, in the city was pretty much the ringleader in this. They orchestrated it, but CVAG participated, La Quinta, Public Works, law enforcement, emergency management. The sheriff's department was there. The sheriff's department had deputies controlling traffic in the county, and was communicating with them. We also had Advantech, our design engineer, working there to make sure that our hardware and software was working. Again, this was kind of the inaugural use of our regional transportation management center. CT West was there. They were the primary vendor that was supplying the hardware and software for this event. And so they were there, again, coordinating, helping, and TKE, our construction manager. And the city coordinated all of this. And you can see this is, Juan, you'll see another picture, but this is at the city of La Quinta. You can see in the background, La Quinta traffic operations. Right under that was some coffee and donuts. The team, some of them arrived as early as 3 o'clock in the morning, thus the need for the coffee. But you'll see there's city staff, there's all those people we mentioned. There's our design engineer, there's the software vendor that's there, and the gentleman in the royal blue shirt, Chris Gunterson, working for the city, was kind of the captain of this team. And again, he was there at 3 o'clock in the morning, but notably, he's not in his truck chasing around from intersection to intersection. He's at the traffic operations center, again, using the one regional traffic management center. And you'll notice that he has a radio in his hand. He's, again, not chasing around. He's looking at the intersections on the screens, and he's communicating directly with city's public works staff, city's traffic staff in the field, seeing things. And you'll see it's still dark out, so it's still in the wee hours there. But he's looking at the way things are in the field, and he's communicating with his staff. The far screen on the far wall there is something kind of an added piece that turned out to be very useful. The TMC has access to the internet. The Ironman half triathlon was streamed live on the internet. I think it was on Facebook and I think one other website. But we were able at the Traffic Operations Center, we were able to watch the event live on that monitor, which followed the leaders. And that's significant because Chris with the city was able to see as the leaders of the race progressed through the course, he could wait until they were getting close to actually change the signals from their regular timing to event timing. And we were able to make that switch on the workstation over the software on the computers and follow up on his radio to make sure everything was working right. But that was all done from that traffic operations center while we watched the event live and while we were able to see each of those screens. And you'll also see at the very bottom, there's an additional screen. And in the second picture, you'll see a second set of panel of both camera views. The city of La Quinta, perhaps different from many of your jurisdictions, has a very robust set of cameras operated by their law enforcement. And that was those set of cameras, some at the same intersections, some additional. And there is a picture of a woman from emergency, I think it's Dana, from the emergency management coordinator for the city. And just to add in kind of a anecdotally, but also I think a beautiful thing that happened, a citizen from the city of La Quinta called in during the event and knew the event was on and was very concerned about how to travel through the city. And so she called into City Hall. City Hall connected her to Dana, the emergency management coordinator. And while looking at the intersections on the screens, so seeing where the traffic was, Dana was able to tell the citizen, hey, these couple of intersections have a little bit of traffic. I think your best route is to go this way. And was able in real time, looking at the intersections on the screens, to advise the citizen on which way to go. Again, just one tiny use of what happened that day, but it did, it happened. And it was kind of a wonderful thing. She had other duties, obviously, there as emergency management coordinator. And certainly this is a tool that can be used in an actual emergency, not just an event. The gentleman at the far end of the room in the jacket is with the Riverside County Sheriff's Department. He has a radio apparently in his pocket there, but he coordinated directly with his deputies in the field. And I can give you one example. There is a location where there were the route for cars allowed for two right turns onto Highway 111. And the deputy that was conducting traffic at that intersection was so focused on the safety of the occasional pedestrian and the traffic that he didn't see that the traffic was really only using one of those right turn lanes. Well, looking at the view from our cameras, as you can see, cameras view very far down the corridor, we were able to see that there is a large queue building up of cars because they weren't using both lanes. So the sheriff's department in the TMC radioed the deputy in the field and said, hey, let's make sure they're using both of those lanes. And what was fascinating to me watching this was that you could watch in real time, you could watch the sheriff's deputy in the field walking over as he was on the radio talking to us and pulling the cars into both right turn lanes And very quickly, the queue was eliminated of cars and the traffic was fixed. Again, might not have ever happened in the field because the deputy in the field was so focused on what he was doing that he couldn't see down the road and see the traffic, but we could. Just one more example of how we did that. I think maybe that the metric that Chris informed me about from the city was the first time in 2018, the traffic control wasn't cleared until almost, I think, after 10 o'clock that evening. Just because of the complexity of going into each controller and changing the timing and taking down all the traffic control devices. This time, in the 2022 triathlon, the traffic control was down at 2:15 before the event was even formally over at 2:30. Because by that time, the event had moved into the city of Indian Wells. And there was no need to have the traffic controls still up. So one by one, not driving around in a truck, chasing each intersection, going into each controller, but again, through the traffic operations center, over the computers, we switched it back to regular timing again. And I'll also point out that this event, again, took place in Indian Wells. It took place touching Palm Desert and into Riverside County with a pre-agreed permissions. We had the ability through this project through this program to change the traffic in different cities. The city of Palm Desert, the city of Indian Wells, had said, hey, if need be, you can change the timing at these couple of intersections.
Can we route all of our traffic to Palm Desert and La Quinta, please? That would be great.
Well, for this day, we had the viewing of it and the ability to, and I think at Fred Waring, they did. I think you guys shared in Fred Waring, and, it allowed a traffic engineer has to be present when you make changes like that, but the city had their traffic engineer in the traffic operations center, and we were looking at Indian Wells. We were looking into Palm Desert. And we were looking into the county, and we had the ability to make changes if necessary. We didn't, but we had that capability, which again was pretty amazing for one city to be able to do that, because it was a regional event, and we set this up to be a regional resource.
Well, Eric, I think this is amazing, and it really shows what the CV Sync can do, not only for this project, but other special event projects that happen throughout the Coachella Valley. I think there's two things. One, it's the experience of the people coming to the valley in terms of what they feel about the event. And then the other one, and most important to us year round, is all of our constituents that tend to call us when things go bad. So I think this is just a really cool tool that we have, and hopefully we can apply it to all special events.
Thank you. This was the inaugural use of this resource. We have another event coming up in March with the tennis tournament in Indian Wells. It doesn't take place on actual arterials, but it certainly affects traffic. And we intend to use our regional traffic management center once again and pull the cities in so that their traffic staff and others have the ability to see in real time what's going on and make adjustments.
Chair, and I know that was a long report, and I'd asked Eric to do it because of how important it is to demonstrate to my bosses the utility of the system and for you to understand when your constituents contact you about signals, which they do every once in a while, right? At the RCTC meeting last week, I ran into one of your colleagues, Wes Speak, of the city of Corona, and committee member Harik. You might remember seeing the Corona TMC, and Corona's done more than most. They've got a wonderful traffic management center, and he was chatting with me about what we've done and noting that how impressed he is with our program, which really hasn't started effectively yet. And I asked him why. He says, well, you could reach across your jurisdictional boundaries. They have the ability to influence two signals outside of the city of Corona. Well, guess what? Most traffic doesn't know the difference when you cross jurisdictional boundaries And what you are doing in the Coachella Valley is really different than what's being done everywhere else in the country. So, Eric, thank you for that report. Chair Hernandez, be happy to address any questions.
Absolutely. The council member, Fitzpatrick.
I actually don't have any questions. I just wanted to say thank you to Eric for that wonderful report on how glowing La Quinta was. I just really, wish that even though we didn't have any actual headlines, there was certainly still a lot of residential concern about the traffic, even though most people were not impacted at all. There's still a vocal minority who think that this is the worst thing that ever happened on a Sunday. But, I just want to give kudos to our incredible team. Chris Gunderson is amazing, and he knows this system inside out and is really happy to work with all of the jurisdictions and make for these great events, because it really does bring a spotlight on our whole valley when something goes well like this. So thank you, Eric, for the report, and thank you for the appreciation.
You're welcome.
Member Harnick, you had your hand up?
I only had it up by mistake. I was trying to put an applause, and I see I'm not offered that on this screen, but yeah, great. Thank you so much for really an outstanding report, and it's so great to see these efforts come together in such a positive way.
Councilmember Downs.
Thank you, Chair Hernandez. So I just wanted to mention that, as I think all of you know, City of Rancho Mirage has had a fully functioning sinking program on Highway 111 on Bob Hope for a couple of years now. But I do want to underscore that we intend to be fully cooperative with the CVAG sink program. So it is the case that within a couple of years, we do anticipate that we will sink every signaled intersection in the entire city to our program. But what we intend to do is to share data, and what we also intend to do is to make sure that there is a space available, hardware space available in our cabinetry to make sure that we do everything we can to accommodate CVSync. So I just wanted to underscore that issue.
And Tom, Council Member, oh, I'm sorry, Mayor Garner, do you want to say a few words? Do your hands up.
Thank you all. It's just for the record, I know I should be on camera, but I don't have childcare today, so occasionally I'm going to have to turn it off.
Oh, okay. Tom, just in terms of what the Councilmember Downs has said, that Rancho Mirage intends to do their whole city, and just wondering is how nimble can we be, because perhaps they're not regional arterial roads, but maybe there's a case, you know, to be made for, say, like the arena area, where we do know that there are special events going on and there are traffic issues, or just other areas in general where we're seeing more special events or different things that are happening here in our valley.
Yeah, Chair, just to remind everybody, you have, of course, we're almost done with phase one, which are the three corridors. And in December, the executive committee approved phase two, which are 21 more corridors. Eric, correct me if I'm wrong, but that'll cover about 80% of the signals in the entire Coachella Valley. Phase three would be kind of mop-up operations to get all the rest of the signals. And we are in contact with the county with respect to the Varner Road to make sure that we do the Varner Road and area improvements as quickly as possible.
Good. All right. Well, if there are no other questions, we'll move on to our next item. And that is a legislative item. And it's our efforts on regional efforts to secure state and federal funding. Manuel Martinez.
Actually,
yeah, you've got one more quick item. It's an action item.
It's an action item. C. This is amendment to Advantech CV Sync Phase 2.
Move an option.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second. La Quinta.
All those in favor signify by saying aye or
aye. Reason.
Aye.
Any opposition? Any abstentions? Seeing none, we'll move on now to item number D. This is a regional effort to secure state funding for state and federal funding. Council Manuel Martinez.
Good morning, Honorable Chair Hernandez, members of the committee. Emmanuel Martinez, I'm going to provide you a brief update on our advocacy efforts related to funding procurement at the state and federal level. There's been a host of activity both at federal and state levels, a lot of changes legislatively, and I'll just be brief and walk you through some of the highlights here today. To give you a federal update, as you may be aware, late December, the president signed the 2023 Consolidated Appropriations Act, which provides discretionary funding across the 12 spending bills. One of the things that got into Consolidated Appropriations Act were the earmarks, which a lot of our local jurisdictions had applied for through our congressional delegation, including CVAG. And I just want to report on the highlights that ones that were included and adopted. Starting off with the City of Indio, they secured $1.5 million for the I-10 Monroe Street interchange, $2.7 million to the 29 Palm Bands of Mission Indians for the Dillon grade separation over the Whitewater Wash, $2.5 million for two projects in Desert Hot Springs related to flooding and blow sand. These are along Indian Canyon within the jurisdiction of Desert Hot Springs. So good news there related to that issue. $2.5 million for Sunline to expand their public fueling stations. And then $1.2 million to the Imperial Irrigation District for the North Shore Resiliency Project for a total of $10.4 million. Some of the news that we did receive at that level regarding earmarks or congressionally directed spending is that we anticipate earmarks to continue this next fiscal year. So just wanted to make you aware of that. We'll be keeping a close eye and working with our lobbyists and the legislative offices to keep apprised of a timeline as when these earmarks for this next fiscal year will open up. So CVAC did submit one for flooding and blow sand on Indian Canyon. Unfortunately, it was not included, but there were two, as mentioned, for Desert Hot Springs that help alleviate that issue. And so we'll continue to press and make this a priority moving into this next fiscal year. On the state side, to be brief, on January 10th, the governor released his budget for the 23-24 fiscal year. To give you the highlight there, we do anticipate a budget shortfall, which is reflected in the budget, $22.5 billion, which will impact the number of programs related to transportation. And given this budget shortfall and revenue decrease, what we will see happening or playing out in the next few months is after the budget was released, we'll see budget subcommittees begin to meet beginning of March 1st. And then we'll see the May revise. And at that point, negotiations will happen between the governor and the legislature to meet the June budget deadline. I know that one of our important projects or funding sources is ATP. That one did see a reduction, for example, of about $250 million. So we anticipate an $850 million funding level, which is enough to fund the program, such as our arts and music line that got awarded this year. And so, we did see in the governor's budget some fund reductions and some shifts to other funding sources. So this is not final. As mentioned, there'll be a timeline for this process to ensue and negotiations to happen to meet the June budget deadline. So we keep you apprised of this process so we know exactly how much is coming for our transportation programs. Also, just want to highlight this committee, since we didn't meet in January, that Antonia Villarosa, who was appointed as the infrastructure czar by Governor Newsom, was in the Coachella Valley in December. A number of you did have the opportunity to meet with them directly. CVAC staff was there in Coachella and Palm Springs to advocate for our projects. And as you can see, we have our very own Jonathan Hoy, transportation director, over there on the right, and a number of representatives from various agencies here in the Coachella Valley, who had a robust funding discussion. And really what the governor and Antonio Villarosa are focused on is leveraging the IIJA, the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, which California is slated to receive or has received so far $38 billion over the next 5 years, beginning with last fiscal year. And they're really trying to identify projects in the state related to energy, housing, broadband, and water the state can then recognize and perhaps create programs around these priorities to ensure that we have projects in the state that the IIJ dollars can flow to. For instance, at the CTC, the California Transportation Commission, they have already started one program called the Local Climate Transportation Adaptation Program. They started a workshop already to form regulations to funnel some of these dollars. So we're keeping a close eye on that. There also be a number of housing and, of course, broadband has already initiated with Middle Mile, but there'll be some last mile funding, which we have an application before the CPUC in March, which I will keep you apprised on as well. And so this was a good opportunity to inform the governor and Antonio Villaraigosa of project priorities here in the Coachella Valley. So with that, those are the highlights since we last met, and happy to answer any questions you may have.
Any questions? Seeing none, we'll move on to item number 7. This is for informational purposes. Item number 8 is public comments on non-agenda items. Erica, we got anyone like to address us?
Chair, we received no written comments, and I don't see any hands raised.
All right. With that, we'll move on to announcements. As you can see, we left the next meeting location somewhat ambiguous. And so really, I'm asking you to take a little poll if you guys would like to continue virtual meetings, or do you, or would you like to meet in person?
So what's the legality of continuing virtual meetings?
Erica, you want to give some background? We have consulted with BB&K. Erica, could summarize.
Sure. So AB 361 remains in effect through until January 2024, and that is the bill under which we've been meeting virtually. The legislation says that in order to start meeting virtually, a state of emergency must exist. But to continue meeting virtually, the governing committee must find that there's either a state of emergency or that state and local officials have imposed or recommended measures to promote social distancing. And it's the use of "or" in that sentence that is of note. There are certainly additional bills that have been passed by the legislature to address the use of virtual meetings, AB 2449, for example. However, AB 361 does remain in effect, and we, as Tom mentioned, have consulted with BBK, and so long as the executive committee continues to make findings, it is legal to meet under AB 361.
So the question is, do we want to make findings for imposing social distancing?
The executive committee would make the findings for CVAG, not the individual committees themselves.
Mr. Chairman, we have a very robust attendance here today, and I'm certain it's because of the fact that we could do it remotely and then go about the rest of our day as quickly as possible. And if we all had to get in our cars and generate VMTs to go to CVAG, find a parking spot, go up there, I think you'd find that attendance would start dwindling. So I would recommend that we remain virtual for as long as our legal counsel will allow us to do that.
Gregory?
Thank you, Chair. So I'm definitely a fan of the virtual meetings, especially for the reason just stated. But I'm a little uncomfortable that that's the reason why it would be stated, because I think legally we have to have some type of emergency findings. I'm not on the executive committee, so I think that would fall on them. So I guess what I would say was, yeah, I'm a fan of staying virtual as long as we legally can. I just am a little bit squeamish that it's based on findings that may not be defensible because it's hard to say we're making those kind of findings when pretty much all of us are back in person everywhere else. If it's legal, I am okay. I'm not a fan of necessarily using a reason that is not actually genuinely why we're continuing the meetings. So thank you.
And again, Chair, we'll put this on the executive committee agenda for the end of the month. And what the executive committee does, the other committees will follow suit.
The other thing is the agenda says the next meeting is April 3rd. Is the March meeting been canceled? Is that it?
We don't generally meet in March. CVAG committees on average meet every other month.
Okay, because I got that off the website. Maybe I misread the website as to when we were meeting.
We will double check that. All right, Mr. Chair. No other
questions, or we are adjourned, and it's a wait and see. Whatever the executive committee does.
Thank you.
We'll see you all shortly.
Bye-bye.